Ephesians chapter 4, we've been talking about the a healthy church, and we've talked about the purpose of the church, which is kind of obvious, to propagate the gospel. We've talked about difficulties in the church, and last week we started talking about the organization of the church, or the government of the church, or the operation of the church, whatever you want to call it. I call it the organization of the church. But what I mean by that is the system in which our church or a church should operate. And so there are two offices within the church that, according to Scripture, that is the pastor and the deacon. And we talked about that last week. So that's where we left off. So this evening, we're going to pick up with the office of the pastor, the office of the pastor. So I'm going to throw myself under the bus, and I'm going to tell you everything that I do wrong. No. No. Before we get too far into this, let's pray and ask God to give us wisdom through this. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your love. And Lord, as we talk about this, we do ask that you would give us wisdom, that you would help us to understand what the Bible says, not what our opinions are. And Lord, help us to navigate this very delicate and very important subject. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I do want to say this. I don't know of a pastor that enjoys teaching on this subject for a number of reasons. One, and to me, probably the most obvious, that it makes me very vulnerable just because, you know, you're going to see a lot of my weaknesses in this study, okay? Now you're going to see some of my strengths as well, because not every person can do everything well. Does that make sense? Yeah. And just like in a marriage, opposites attract. My strengths are oftentimes her weaknesses, and vice versa. You know, she brings to our relationship things that I don't, and I bring things that she doesn't. And every successful marriage has that mix. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for. A church is the same way. And and oftentimes, again, this is a church will oftentimes take on the personality of the pastor. Yep. Have you ever been to a church where you feel like an outsider? Where you're not welcome? I have. And
maybe once.
You know, and In every case that I've ever been in that environment, I've been in a lot of churches, by the way, in every case, the pastor is always very standoffish. And the people pick up on that. And one of the things that I decided that when we started Grace Baptist Church is I was not going to be like that. My personal, and most of you know this because I don't keep it a secret, my personality is such that I'm an introvert. I can sit, you can take me in a room of 600 people and I'll go in a corner and sit there and be perfectly fine. That is who I am. But I knew that when God brought us here to start Grace Baptist Church, that I could not be like that. So I work at it because it's important that our church be a friendly church. So as we go through this section, I came up with some questions that may be asked. The first one is, why doesn't he, referring to me, why doesn't he do this for me? You know, I have been accused of the last 15 years of neglecting people. Just saying. And that's part of it, you know. I found out recently that somebody who's attended our church for quite some time, his wife was in the hospital for like 3 or 4 days, and I'm just finding out now, you know, after she had been released, you know, why didn't you call me? One of the things that is said often, I shouldn't say often, occasionally, is I think he, being me, should, and you can fill in the blank. Right? I mean, that's human nature. One of the biggest criticisms is, why doesn't he meet my needs like he meets other people's needs? And see, these are all good questions. Are they not? Unfortunately, well, let me say this. I've even been asked this question, why aren't you perfect? Yeah, there's only been one of those. And the reality is I'm not perfect. And there on this side of heaven, there's only been one of those. Okay? And yeah, he was it. Jesus was the one. Yeah. You know, and so you have to understand, as I talk about this idea of the position of a pastor, please filter it through the fact that no pastor is perfect. Okay? We are all human, and we all make mistakes. And we all say stupid things. Do we not? And we all get tired.
Especially when we get old.
I have a question for you. And I want you to think about it before you answer it. In fact, I'm going to read the question so I get it right. As a church family, if you see a need or a problem, whose responsibility is it to fix it? I said to think about it. Well, because, and I say this because often, again, oftentimes people will see things and will come to me and say, Pastor, you need to fix this. Right?
Yeah, if it's in your realm of responsibility.
Well, if it is, right. But oftentimes, you know, my thought was, well, why didn't you take care of it? You know, because if we are a family, which I hope we are, shouldn't we all be kind of covering each other? You know, I had a pastor friend of mine who the foyer of his church, right in the foyer, I don't know, I was never at this particular building. By the time I knew him, he was in a different state. But the church he was in previous to when I knew him, He said in the foyer was a light that hung down in the foyer of the church. So when you walked in, there was a light hung down, and the light burned out. And he didn't change it. He wanted to see how long it would take for someone else in the church to notice the light had burned out and to see if somebody else would change the light bulb. 4 months. And then finally somebody walked up to him and said, "Pastor, when are you going to change the bulb?" See, my point is this. Oftentimes we assign responsibilities to the pastor that are not necessarily his responsibilities. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Anybody can change a light bulb.
Anybody can change a light bulb. Huh?
Not if you work for the city.
Yeah. Or if you were in the Marine Corps. Sorry, Bob. Okay, just slipped down, man. Just slipped down. But I want to say something, and as I was reading and studying for this, in fact, this what I'm gonna say here is not mine. I got it from a book. But the author of the book that I was reading said this: perhaps the most self-governing act of the church is the calling of a pastor. And I want you to kind of let that sink in for a minute. The most self-governing act of a church is the calling of a pastor. That is when a congregation seeks God's wisdom in who they should have lead them. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 4, hopefully you're there by now. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So let's talk about these two verses for a minute. Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, question, in this list in verse 11, is the pastor and teacher two different people, or is it one person? It is one person. So a pastor must, and we'll get it when we get into the qualifications, a pastor must be able to what?
Teach.
Correct. Apt to teach. One of the qualifications. Excuse me. But I want to focus in on verse 12. Why has God given us apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers? Why has God given us that? It's very clear here.
Yeah.
For the what?
For the perfecting
of the saints. So let's talk about this word perfecting. What does the word perfecting mean? So is one perfect person going to teach you to be perfect? No, that's ridiculous. So what does the word perfecting mean?
Maturing.
Or to bring to completion. Okay? So the reason why God gives us these different people in our lives is to grow us, to make us more like Christ, right?
Correct.
Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Why do we need to be mature?
Because
Keep reading. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So whose job is it to do the work of the ministry?
The saints.
Everybody's job. It's not my job. Well, let me rephrase that. It is my job, not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a believer.
One of the saints.
Correct. Now, it's my job to help you mature so that you can then do the work of the ministry.
Correct. Yes.
It is not my job to solely do the work of the ministry within our church.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, or to the glory of God. The edifying the body of Christ. Now, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also follow Christ." I also am of Christ. So you tell me what Paul is saying here.
As long as I am
followed. Anybody? Talk to me.
Follow me as I follow Jesus.
Okay, follow me as I follow Christ. So what is the understood implication of what Paul is saying? Okay, follow him, but what is the implication?
That he's following Christ.
Okay? The implication, to me, the obvious is that he's following Christ. The implication here is,
if I ever stop,
don't follow me, follow Christ.
Right.
That's the implication. Follow me as long as I am following Christ. If I stop following Christ, don't follow me. That is a huge burden. Now, I don't know about you, but as a pastor, that is something that keeps me awake at night. That is a huge responsibility. Because what happens when I mess up? And I do mess up. Everybody sees it. You know that... I'm going to pick on Brian because he's right here. If Brian gets into sin and falls, who does it affect? Well, it does affect everybody, but mainly it's just his family and his immediate little circle. But what happens if a pastor falls? It affects my family. It affects every family in this church.
And in the city.
Exactly. So, see there? Yeah. And it brings reproach on the name of Christ. So let me ask you a very practical question. How many of you believe the devil is out to destroy you as a believer? If you believe that, raise your hand. Okay? That is the truth. If he is out to get you, how much more do you think he's out to get me?
That's why we should pray for you.
Exactly. Amen. That is my point. Satan is out to destroy the church, and what better way than to take down the head? I personally believe now, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Satan assigns a demon to every pastor. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
There's scriptural evidence of that, I think, too.
Yeah.
I can't prove it, but I believe it.
It's in the scripture. It is.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
See, the emphasis here is Paul knew he was going to let people down. The emphasis is what? Following Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And if I ever stop, you just keep going for Christ. So, we're going to look at several ways that a pastor is supposed to serve his church. Okay? And I say this because I am not naive enough to believe that I am going to pastor Grace Baptist Church for the next 700 years. Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to live that long. Okay, me and Methuselah, man. You know, we're gonna do it. No, I don't want to live that long. No, but seriously, you know, this is a reality. When, what was it? 4 years ago, I almost died. Right about now, almost five years ago, give or take a month or two, I almost died. What would you have done as a church? You would have had to try to find another pastor. Where would you start?
North Carolina.
No, most people in North Carolina will not come to Nevada. That was good, though.
Prayer.
Well, prayer would be huge. But let me ask you this, because most churches, When they go to look for a pastor, they look for education. The type of education, where they were educated, experience, and so on and so forth, and then they have all of this. But one of the things that churches rarely ask a potential pastor is this. What does your walk with God look like? How do you walk with God every day? What does that look like? Right? Which is more important? A pastor's walk with God or his education? If he can have all the book knowledge in the world, but if he doesn't walk with God, now, I'm not saying, you know, get somebody who's a flake and, you know, that's, you know, please, you know, there's obviously balance in this, okay? Because I believe education is important, or I would not have gone to college myself. But education is not everything. I know churches, I can give you a list of churches that when they were looking for pastors, if you did not have a doctor's degree in front of your name or behind your name, I guess it's behind your name, you know, do not apply. So that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I want a man of God, not a man of books. I want a man who walks with God. So as we go through this list, and we're not going to get too far into the list, but let's start with, the first point is he serves by leading. He serves by leading. A pastor should serve by leading. A church should be led by a pastor, not run by a pastor. There is, with the exception of the upcoming Christmas parade, I've already told the Monroes and I told my wife that I'm not going to be there because I've been having some respiratory things going on. And the last thing I need to do is be on that cold. And in fact, last year I ended up getting sick last year. But there's not an activity that we do that I'm not front and center on. Right? Except the ladies' conference, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm here, yeah. So I want to reiterate something that is really, 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 really important. Grace Baptist Church is not my church. Whose church is it? It belongs to Jesus Christ. I did not die for this church. Jesus died for the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church and what? Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is not my church. Now, let me say this. It is my church. It is my church in the same context that it is your church. Because this is where I go to church. But it is not my church in the concept that I run it. I have a vote. In a minute, we're going to have a business meeting. I have one vote, just like you. Because the church does not belong to the pastor, it belongs to Christ. Okay, we're going to stop there. We didn't get very far. I didn't think we would, but let's pray and we'll have our business meeting. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct in our lives and that you would help us in our business meeting. Lord, help us to do right. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Hey, Bob, can you run down and get John?